They're loading into the barriers. Moods, Mytho, Rog, and the Rain Man. And they're underway for Moody on the mic.
Welcome back. Another Group 1 edition of Moody on the mic. I'm Roger Aldridge. Joining me, of course, Peter Moody, the man of the podcast, is named after the resident Rain Man, Tom Hackett, and Anthony Mithen and Moods. I'll tell you what, I'm starting to get a bit concerned because last week you told us about this horse, Quickster, who was going to go around, and then Friday, she's in a Benalla, scratched. She goes in Monday at Ballarat, she's scratched. Cranbourne, Wednesday, scratched. I reached out to the owner, Anthony Mithen. He thought you might have been the new Johnny Sadler. Just kept scratching. But finally, she went around today and she nearly got the chocolates. But good to see you run it.
Well, may as well have left her at home, hadn't I? She got beat. should have scratched her again. I wish I had stayed at Cranbourne. I would have scratched her and she'd be still in a box undefeated this afternoon. But anyhow, that's life. We move on. We've been beat before, and unfortunately, it'll happen again, Rog.
You know, so Rog, just to let you in on a little secret, he kept scratching because of the wide barrier, and then we found a six-horse race, and she was six wide on the corner. Worked out good, didn't it?
Oh, jockey pot. That was a bit of a shot there.
No, Heffel. Just have to play that out for us. Nothing against Carlene Heffel.
You just mentioned it.
I just stated the facts, Peter. That she was six wide on the corner in a fucking six-horse race.
All right. Well, can you make sure Carlene Heffel gets a copy of this podcast?
Six.
as Mytho stews in his juices, you did have a winner just prior to logging on here with his handsome getting up.
Of course he did, but not for me, did he?
You know the owner of He's Handsome, don't you?
You?
Yeah. The Lord moves in mysterious ways. That's all I can say.
And what a win it was as well. Very impressive, He's Handsome. Quickster could have used the five extra lengths that He's Handsome won by.
Where was He's Handsome on the corner, Moots?
Four or five deep. Not quite six deep, but he's four or five deep the trip.
Very badly named, that horse, if you're in the ownership, Peter.
Maybe that's where the best part of the track was.
Yeah.
How would you like Jamie Carr to ride Legacies this week, Mytho? Like she rode Pounding, or would you like her to ride her a little bit quieter? Or
well, yeah, like she's riding well. She rode two winners on Sunday. I'm sticking fat there. I'm fine. There's a bit of chat about it. Can we talk that as a topic? Because, like 3 months ago, she was, 6 months ago, you couldn't pay her enough to ride your horse. And I'll tell you what, people are pretty quick to jump off, aren't they, I reckon? So, we're sticking there, aren't we, Moods? And she'll ride Legacies and she'll give her a peach on Saturday at Flemington and we'll get the chocolates and get her campaign back on track.
I'm with you.
Yeah. Amelia's Jewel and Imperatrix.
The world's best horse.
The world's best horse. She's too classy. She's the world's best horse. Not the Australia's best horse. She's the world's best horse.
Have you gone that far? World's best horse?
Yep.
Well, she's taken such big scalps since she's arrived here in Melbourne, like Life Lessons and Pride of Jenny, a couple of household names, and they're sort of bordering on stardom. And for Amelia's Jewel to go and bust them, probably a little bit soft in condition. Like, I can understand where the raps are really come from. And it has the ratings experts just reaching for the sky, like they're running out of ink applying ratings to these performances in beating these unbelievable class gallopers. I'm surprised a few of them haven't been supplemented into the ARC this Sunday off the back of that Amelia's Jewel's form.
It was last Sunday.
Oh, it was too. Bugger.
You are a ratings man. You take great notice of these sort of things. Now, yes, as Moots alluded to, she wasn't exactly beating some of the world's best horses in these runs. But how do you feel she's heading into her spring campaign, potentially to a Ladbrokes Coxblade or a Golden Eagle? We're not quite sure where she's headed at the grand final yet.
No, she's still tracking along very nicely, Amelia's Jewel. And I think there's a happy medium to be found between Mytho really getting carried away with the hype, world's best horse, and Moods, who seems very keen to downplay the horse. I think the truth lies somewhere in the middle. And I think there is a – Moods does still make a good point, is that she has been kept in mare's company this preparation. She's been winning well. She's been winning in impressive fashion. She's been winning like you like to see. She wasn't –
How those?
No, and she has been running good times, but they all were running good time at the Valley on Friday night. The track was lightning quick. They were breaking track records left, right, and center. She's racing really well, there's no doubt. But her biggest challenges are yet to come. She'll go to the two rack now in all likelihood. She'll carry a big weight there. And then it'll be another step up in quality, whether she goes to a Ladbrokes Cox Plate or to a Golden Eagle. So I still don't think we still don't know exactly how good she is. And I don't think we will get that answer until she potentially runs in a Ladbrokes Cox Plate or potentially the Golden Eagle as well. But I think it'll be a big answer or a big variable in where she goes will be answered this Saturday, because I have a feeling that they're waiting to see how Romantic Warrior performs in the Turnbull Stakes on Saturday. If Romantic Warrior comes here from Hong Kong, gives them a galloping lesson on Saturday in the Turnbull Stakes and looks like clearly the horse to beat in the Ladbrokes Cox Plate, I think they'll start eyeing up that Golden Eagle. If Romantic Warrior gets beaten or looks vulnerable on Saturday in the Turnbull Stakes, I think the Ladbrokes Cox Plate will become the option. In my mind, I just, reading between the lines, I think they do want to go to a Ladbrokes Cox Plate, but I do think that they're making the right move for them and keeping their options open.
I think they absolutely want to go to the Cox Plate. So we'll wait and see. Moods, what do you want to see out of her in the Toorak next weekend to maybe not jump on the bandwagon, maybe place a foot on it?
Well, it'll be interesting to see how she's handicapped. One, I'm not sure where her rating went to post that. But, she steps out against the males for the first time. You want to see her be dominant, because then she's got to go back to wait for age in the Cox Plate, of course. These internationals, there's a couple of internationals arrived for the Cox Plate. You know, it's hard to marry in that form. And Romantic Warrior, we can probably relate to a little bit more, because we know a bit more about him. He's closer to home, even though he's, only a third of the way around the world. I don't want to take away from her. She's a very, very good mare, but she needs to continue to step up. Or does she? Is her current form good enough to win a Toorak and a Cox Plate? We're not sure. If the rivals are there to be scaring her away or her to be scaring them away, anyhow. But I think the performance of mine was Australasia's best sprinter, Imperatrice. I thought she was dynamite. I doubted her having another run at 1,000 metres. For me, she was the one I'd like to take away from that meeting. She was absolutely superb in the Moya. God help any of those chasing her in the Manicato, and thank God she's not going to the Everest is all I can say. And I can make a point for the Everest. The Everest is a $20 million race, and it's actually made out to think, well, when you see a $20,000 race, the winner gets $12,000 or $14,000, the rest carved up. The Everest, the winner gets about $7 million, I believe, or somewhere in that vicinity. She's going to win that in a Victorian spring campaign or all but, and they're not going to have to share any of it with a slot holder. And she's going to end up with three Group 1s and a Group 2 beside her name, one would suggest. So I think David Ellis and the team are probably playing a game where, hey, we don't have to share with anyone. We'll just pick up the spoils here and we'll end up with nearly the same amount of money, and this very valuable mare will become even more valuable.
And what it could do as well is set up a fascinating Super Bowl-style showdown in the champion sprint down the Flemington Straight on Champions Day. If we do see, when we're all hoping for, I Wish I Win comes out and wins the Everest, Imperatrice wins the Ladbrokes Manicato Stakes, they could both go head-to-head down the Flemington Straight in the champion sprint with the title of Australasia's best sprinter, nay, the world's best sprinter on the line. That would be a mouth-watering way to finish the carnival as well. So there's definitely positives to take there. But I think what Imperatrice has done in those two race starts is preparation has just been outstanding. That turn of foot she's got is something to behold. And she's a man that she's won Group 1s over Group 1s over 1,600 metres in New Zealand as well. So she's so versatile. She's one of my favourite horses. I think she is truly a star.
I love the way you're selling that, Ray, man, like the northern winner versus the southern winner in a Super Bowl-style champion sprint. I think the VRC would be very happy with that marketing campaign. Had it on the work the other day, Moods. He had a bit of work down at, did he work down at Pakenham at Tuesday morning?
Yeah, he had a nice gallop there on Tuesday. We're very pleased with his work, and he looks in great order. Really happy. So 10 more sleeps, I think it is. 9 more sleeps, thereabouts. So really looking forward to it. He's in really pleasing condition.
With the Ladbrokes Cox Plate Carnival fast approaching and the most anticipated Ladbrokes Friday Night Light season yet, it's time to become a Moonee Valley Racing Club member. Unlock a world of benefits, including a free drink and race book at every race meeting, access to the members' reserve, a new race for awards program, and more. With prices starting from just $195, it's the best value racing membership in Australia. Get closer to the action. Become a Moonee Valley Racing Club member today. Join now at thevalley.com.au.
We're going to kick things off in Sydney. We're going to go to the Hills, the Roman Consul to start us, Rain Man. And what's the market doing with this one?
Yeah, Roman Consul Stakes, a race that's been moved on from the calendar 1 week later. Normally, you traditionally run on Epsom Day, been pushed back 1 week. Osmosis is the favourite. It's undefeated from three race starts. It's the $2.50 favourite. King's Gambit, he's been a bit of an enigma during its racing career. He's $8.05. Celestial Legend, Fort Lesbridge, $5.50. Barber, $7. Royal Tribute for the Inform Waterhouse and Bot Stable, $7.50. Osmosis has looked very impressive in three wins from as many race starts. Won the Heritage in good style last start. Had a lot of people talking it up as a potential Everest candidate because it does have a very similar profile to Giga Kick this time last year. Lightly raced three-year-old who hasn't been defeated at this stage. I think it's a deserving favourite, but the horse I want to back is King's Gambit, and he's an enigma, this horse. Had only the one win from five race starts, but has always promised a great deal. Was beaten as a short price favourite in the Poseidon Stakes first up at Flemington. There always seems to be an excuse for this horse, and I'm once again giving him one. I just don't think he handled Flemington the other day down the Flemington straight. I think back in Sydney, back around a turn. I think on his best form, he is the best horse in this race. He was very good in the Golden Slipper last year, where he finished third behind Shinzo. Didn't have a huge amount of luck in running that day either. So at $5, based on a strong starting price profile, I'm with King's Gambit, but he is running out of excuses.
I'm going the other way, Rayman. King's Gambit, obviously the danger if he can put it all together, but I think Osmosis is a clear top pick. Rises to every challenge in career so far. You know, the form here just says it's the one to beat, and good luck to the rest of them beating him because I don't think they can. So, yeah, Osmosis for mine.
Winners keep winning, Rog, and Osmosis does exactly that. So I'm also the flip-flop to Rain Man here. I'm going to go with the winner rather than the horse that promised to but doesn't. So King's Gambit has got to do it before it'll get mine, and Osmosis looks like he's going to continue on his winning way to me.
Is there any chance a horse like Osmosis can find his way into an Everest? Is there any slots remaining?
There's one slot left. The talk is that Alcohol Free will get that slot. So I'd say there'd have to be a horse pulled out or something like that for Osmosis to get a slot at this stage. But he would add, especially if he wins on Saturday, and because of that, the similar profile to Giga Kick, he'd definitely add another element of interest to what's already a very intriguing race.
Osmosis, hard to go past him. King's Gambit's doing too many things wrong. Balkan's probably the improver at the bottom for the coming stable. They don't usually run these horses in these sorts of races unless they feel they're suited. But hard to go past Osmosis.
The next race we're going to look at in Sydney is the Hill Stakes, Roman. It's a pretty lucrative race too, the Hill Stakes. And, well, who would have thought? He's not near the top of the market. Young Werther going for three in a row.
Yeah, he's turned into a winner, Young Werther, and he's a good price. $15, I think, is not a bad price for a horse that's always had the ability and is now turning himself into a winner. Montefiore is the favourite. She's $4. Good early support for Huya Mao, for Gabe Waterhouse and Adrian Bott, $4.50. Protagonist, $7.50. Zarek, $8. So I think there's a really good each-way bet in this race. Trained by the world's best trainer, Annabelle Neesham. Umarium is $15 to win, $4 to place. First up off a spell, but he has run some really big races first up as well. He finished last preparation a little bit disappointingly, where he was beaten with a big weight in the Ipswich Cup. But his early autumn form was very, very good earlier this year. And he can spike a decent rating first up. Normally, it's not quite enough to win. And he generally is a horse that can seem to find one just a little bit better on the day. He chased home without a fight a couple of times during the Brisbane winter. But I think as an each-way betting proposition in a very open race, in my opinion, I think he's a great each-way bet at $15 to win, $4.40 to place with Ladbrokes.
I've mentioned him as one to watch his last two starts, and he's been pretty good, but now third up, fit and getting out to 1,900. Huya Mel, For the Inform Waterhouse Boatyard is my pick. I think he'll show the class that's had him so highly rated when he arrived here last spring for the Cup. He's adaptable on sort of any ground, should settle nicely into a midfield position from barrier six, and I think could give Adam Hieronymus another weekend to remember after he won the Flight Stakes last weekend upon his little comeback trail from that indiscretion that we shall not speak of.
Yeah, it's a funny old race, isn't it? Because the $2 million prize check for the Group 2 was sort of supposed to be robbing the Wait for Age Stars from the Spring Carnival and races like the Turnbull. I don't know that it's worked, and I'm going to go with the theory that the best, the horse that I'd like to see in the Turnbull field out of the Hill Stakes field is Montefilia. She'd give that race a bit of a rumble. So I reckon on that mentality, I'm going to have something, nearly each way at $4, but she'll give you a good side in this. And it's probably one of those, like Peter Volandis, he's doing wonders and he's making decisions that are to the calendar that are making everyone think, but I'm not sure about a $2 million Hill Stakes. I don't know what impacts that one's had. Moods?
Pineapple for me. Pineapple. Listen, I'm not knocking the race. It's been there for a long, long time, the Hill Stakes. I have actually used it as a lead into the Caulfield Cup. On occasions, it used to be run a little bit earlier, and we saw a lot of these horses were wanting to be in the Turnbull. They missed a run there, so they're using this to try and get there. No idea. You deserve value if you back the winner of this race. Crikey, you do.
And you'll get it too, but let's move down to Melbourne, and race is probably where we're a little bit more interested in, and let's kick it off with the Danehill Rain Man.
Yeah, some talented three-year-olds go around in this contest. Lloyd Kennewell has got the favourite. I am in Stop Unstoppable, $3.50. Archo Nacho has been well backed early into $4.20. Stret and Angel on the third line are betting at $4.80. And then you've got Barber and Libertad at $9. I think the market's been a bit harsh here on Libertad at the $9 here. A horse that won the San Domenico Stakes in really impressive fashion. Then failed to fire in the run to the Rose, but was still only beaten by two lengths. And I'm not sure this Danehill Stakes is really any tougher than that race. And you're getting $9. So on exposed ratings, he is the highest rated horse in the field. And probably the question is, does he handle the Flemington Straight? But I'm not convinced he's not the best horse in the race. And you're getting $9. So I think he's one of the better bets on the card at Flemington. Number two, Libertad at $9 with Love Brokes.
I'll be circling back to this a little bit later on in the program. Spoiler alert. I'm sticking with Stret and Angel, who I had as my best a few weeks ago. She got beaten a lip upon resumption down the straight. I'm Unstoppable. Good last start, second in the Poseidon, beaten by Archo Nacho, but a kilo and a half better off this time. So, look, he absolutely is, you know, deserving place in the market. But we know from what Mood said about what Stokesy's view of Stret and Angel before that last start. So they have a big rap on her. She was great second up in that first preparation. I think she'll come on nicely from that first up run where she, like I said, she just missed. And I really like her here, Stret and Angel.
Yeah, it's a bloody good race, but it's an even race. And I think there's some really top line emerging three-year-olds in this. We've got Treasure Way engaged. Thought long and hard about whether or not to take a spot in this. But going back through the form, she was very unlucky there at Moonee Valley. I think everyone put a line through that one and felt like she was, could have been well and truly could have been in the finish without drawing down near the inside and not getting a crack at them. And then second up, just too close to the speed. Tried something a bit different. She's a get back and run on horse. We learned that last start, and that's what we'll be doing on Saturday in the Danehill. And she can surprise at very big odds, Rain Man. What odds have we got there?
$91 the win for Treasure.
Is she really?
$91 the extreme outsider in the field. You're getting $14 to place.
Yeah, just have something little, the $14 to place, because she'll be rattling home late and putting herself in the picture in that last furlong. But, look, Archo Nacho, he looks an exciting sort of horse, doesn't he? He's a bit of a rags-to-riches $10,000 weanling. Who would have sold a horse like that for $10,000 as a weanling? What idiots. Absolutely. Yeah,
poor old Pete Johnson. He's got no idea, has he? Fair to
Well, the bloke who was giving him some advice has got no idea anyway.
Just reading, looking at that race there, did Jamie Carr give you the apple and sauce, or did you give her? I noticed she'd been the rider of Treasure Way her last two starts, and Daniel Stackhouse engaged at $91. You're giving us a little tip there. Is it, we don't read anything into that?
Look, Peter, as you'd be well aware, I listened to the trainer's advice, and the trainer in this case, Jason Warren, felt that just a change of jockey might bring a change of luck, and happy to endorse that. As you suggested, legacies to go again with Jamie because circumstances, and happy to go with that as well.
Yeah, right. No, that's good. No, just checking. I'm with Stretton Angel. I was with her first up. I think she'll take great benefit for that experience down the straight. D Lane, a bit of a jockey go merry-go-round around here. Car rode Stretton Angel. Lemon and Sarsh for D Lane. Then J Car, Lemon and Sarsh's Treasure Way for Honor Galore, who D Lane, Lemon and Sarsh for Stretton Angel. A little bit of a merry-go-round here, so I'm going to stick with D Lane. I reckon he might add first pick of a few of these. And I thought she'll improve the run. I Am Unstoppable looks an exciting prospect. Just like to see them probably drawn on the outside in these races, and he's drawn down in two, Stretton Angel out in eight. Could be the difference. But a good race, good race.
The Group 1 Turnbull Stakes is the feature race on Saturday, and history suggests that the winner of the Melbourne Cup will be engaged at Flemington in some capacity on Saturday, whether it be the Turnbull or in the Bart Cummings. This here, the favourite, Rayman, is a horse not headed toward the Melbourne Cup, but it's one that will excite racing fans the country over.
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting addition to the Turnbull Stakes, Roger. One of my favourite races on the calendar. And we get our first look in Australia at Romantic Warrior, the horse that is the favourite for the Ladbrokes Cox Plate. It's the $2.05 favourite for the Turnbull Stakes as well. Chris Waller's got the next two in betting. Ossipenko, $6.50. Solcombe, $6.50 as well. West Wind Blows, a really interesting horse. Simon Crispin, who was the racing manager with Godolphin for many years and brought a number of Godolphin stays to Australia with success, is the trainer of West Wind Blows. He did an interview with Adam Hamilton, a Hammer head-to-head, which you can find on Ladbroke's social media channels. And he talks about how they won the Godolphin won the 2008 Caulfield Cup with All Too Good. And he's saying that a horse like All Too Good now wouldn't even make the Caulfield Cup field. The race has improved that much. And he's hoping to win the Caulfield Cup with West Wind Blows. So it's a $7 chance here in the Turnbull. But all indication is that we'll take good improvement from this race heading towards both the Caulfield Cup and the Melbourne Cup. It's a really interesting conundrum here as to what we do with Romantic Warrior, who is the best 2,000-metre horse in Hong Kong. There's no doubt about that. The question is, how was he travel and how was he acclimatised in Australia? There was obviously the well-publicised issue with he wasn't allowed to bring his favourite feed. He didn't get to bring his favourite feed to Australia, and he was a little bit off his feed when he first arrived in Australia. And my question mark on this horse is that he's basically been priced up at $2.05 on his best form in Hong Kong. So even if he's a length or two off that form, he's not that much better than these other horses, that if he's not at his very best, if he's not close to his very best, he won't be winning this race because there are some good horses in this field. So I think he's a deserving favourite, but I'm happy to take him on at the $2.05 with my thinking that he's not going to be quite at his top. So the horse I think can beat him is a horse I think that's been tracking along really nicely this preparation, which is Ossipenko for the Chris Waller stable. Was really good third behind Mr. Brightside on Alligator Blood in the Maccabi Diva Stakes last start. Was sort of held up for a run at the top of the straight. Took a while to warm up, and Alligator Blood and Mr. Brightside were off and gone. But he found the line really nicely in the concluding stages, ran some really slick closing sectionals. I think he's got a big race win in him that this preparation. This could be the one. He's had success. He's only been to 2,000 metres once, and he won the Frank Packer Plate. I'm really interested to see him at this trip. He's drawn ideally Barrier 6 with Damien Oliver, who's riding in outstanding form at the moment in the saddle. I think if there's a horse that can knock off Romantic Warrior, it is Ossipenko, and I'm happy to be on at the $6.50.
I'm glad we got there in the end. I don't watch enough, know enough about Hong Kong racing to tell you that this week's just better than the rest. J-Mac, though, does, and geez, he was excited on Sunday when he jumped off Romantic Warrior after a run at Flemington. Vision of him, he just looks like a beast. Everything else in this race pretty much is on the cups part. This horse is here to win, one or two starts. So I don't want to dive into $2 either, Rayman. Geez, if he gets out to 250, I'll have a crack, though. But I think Romantic Warrior, based on what I've been told, should win.
Yeah, I'm in all the multis, in everything punters, this one. And just to counter, bit of intel to counter Rain Man's question mark there. David Raphael, long-time race caller in Hong Kong, now bloodstock agent. I was on the text with him last week, and he was telling me that the Romantic Warriors trainer was travelling foreman for Ivan Allen for a long time, and he was the nervous Nelly of the Hong Kong racing bubble. He was the one that was glass half empty, everything's bad, everything's, you know, over-dramatised, any sort of issue at all, needed everything, a perfectionist probably would be the best description. And that's why we're getting this negativity about, oh, is he the feed? Is it the travel? He wants everything perfect. And he wouldn't be reading too much in on that. And he was saying Romantic Warrior will turn up and blow him away. That was good enough for me. And that's why he'll be going in all my multis at the even money. I'll be just taking double the odds about everything else.
Yeah. Well, let's be honest, he's probably the only Cox Plate horse in this race, isn't he? Yeah. The rest of them are on a Cox, on a path. You know, you talk about the Hill Stakes in Sydney. Crikey.
Where are Gold they?
That's right. Where are they? Gold Trip's drawn 18. I think he's absolutely flying. His first up run showed that, but where's he going to be from 18? The one thing in his favour, he gets a bit of cut in the ground probably this weekend. Ozapenko, is it going to upset the Cox Plate favourite? Uncle Bryn, Sulcum, it's been good. You know, I think if the right Romantic Warrior turns up, he wins, I think. I'm just going to watch the race and watch it with interest. I've got Spanish Mission engaged, and his form will dictate to me where I'm going with him. He's in both cups, as are most of these horses. But if Romantic Warrior runs up to his rating, he wins, plain and simple.
Experience the best 24 hours of racing, action and entertainment at the legendary Ladbrokes Cox Plate Carnival. It's spring after dark on Ladbrokes Cox Plate Eve with a night of fun under lights headlined by the Ladbrokes Moonee Valley Gold Cup. Plus, ARIO award-winning DJ Will Sparks will keep the party going after the races. Then Saturday, it's a massive day of Group 1 racing headlined by Australia's best race, the Ladbrokes Cox Plate. Friday 27th and Saturday 28th of October. Tickets from just $30. Book now at coxplate.com.au.
Let's go to our best bets now, Rainman, and you can take the new ball as you tend to do.
I'm sticking to a Sydney this weekend. Roger Rosehill, race 3, number 8, Pia Rosa. Been racing well without winning this preparation. I think finds the perfect race here at Rosehill on Saturday, up to 2,000 metres. Was very good last start. Just ran into a pretty handy horse in the form of Marquez last start. There's no horse of that quality in this field. She gets in really well at the weights here with just 53 kilos on her back. She'll never have a better chance to win another race. So it's race 3, number 8, Pia Rosa at Rosehill Gardens.
I'm hanging some onions because I nearly got it last time and I'm not willing to let it go. So I'm sticking with her again, and that is with Stretton Angel. Race 5, number 9. Yes, tough race, but I think she looks like a very, very nice horse. So Stretton Angel is my best for Saturday at Flemington.
Yeah, when Stokesy, I was packing them yesterday morning with the great man PG Moody, and Stokesy stopped me and wanted to chat about her. And he's got a mare that he's got for sale, so he's talking it up. But he did say she's definitely Group 1 class. So I think you're on the right bandwagon there, Rog. From a Rosemont point of view, I'm going to give you a best bet. Can we go to Gosford on Thursday? Are we going to get this podcast out in time?
It'll be out Wednesday night. So if they get in early, they might have a bit of a bank.
Gosford, Thursday, race 5. Schwartz on debut for John O'Shea and the Rosemont Alliance, the Stallion Package team. He's a very, very smart horse, and we're just going to go the soft kill to kickstart him, but we think he's absolutely group class and should be popping off his Gosford maiden on Thursday afternoon. So hopefully that gives you a bit of money. He's even money, but that'll do. You just double your dollars and everyone's happy. And I like Legacies. I think she'll bounce back on Saturday at Flemington for Moody and Jay Carr and get the job done. She's a high-class filly that we know has got good talent. And I saw her yesterday morning. She looks great. So good luck there, Moods.
Yeah, let's hope so. I'm certainly with you there, Anthony. A handful of runners for the Boutique Stable this weekend. Race 2, the top weight, Ala Plenty. He'll be having the day off, unfortunately. Skip across to race 3, probably our leading Derby chance in Gates. Number 9, unfortunately drawn the car park. Just doesn't map well for him this race. So it's a race we'll probably have to ride him quiet in and see how he adopts to those tactics. I find the horses are strong, on pace, staying tight, but I don't think we'll have any option but to ride in quiet, and how that plays, I'm not sure. Skip across to the Manifold Legacies. Unfortunately drawn the car park as well, 14 of 16. But I think, once again, it makes us have to ride this filly quiet, and I haven't hidden my thoughts that she should have been ridden more reserved last time. So I don't think Jamie will have any other option this time, and just got to hope for a nice gallop because she is going well enough to win. I do echo Mitho's sentiments there. Across to race 6, the Rose of Kingston. Got quite a big hand here. We've got four runners in the 14-horse field. Shuffle Dancer, I thought, was very good first up. She can improve. But in saying that, she will need to. Waltz on By, who's going absolutely superb. But once again, she's drawn wide in 14. I'll need a lot of luck from back in the field. Life Lessons, who ran second to the arguably the world's best horse last start, Amelia's Jewel. She's probably the best hope for the universe. Probably the best hope for the stable on Saturday. She's held her condition well. She's enjoyed the time between runs and should get a nice run from gate 6. And wound up by Forbidden City, drawn 11, still a bit big in condition like myself, might just need the hit out. The best of mine, I think Life Lessons in race 6, number 10, followed up closely by Legacies. Not going there cock-a-hoop, but I enjoy that because sometimes it takes the pressure off in thinking they can run well. So Life Lessons on top for me. Race 6, horse 10. Good luck, good punting. There's not a big sprint this week. I don't know what's going to let them run fast. Maybe it'll be J-Mac on the very good Hong Kong Galloper Romantic Warrior. Let fast horses run fast. Ladbrokes.